out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system at radioarian.com.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Wednesday, the 12th of September, 2018. You're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at radioarian.com. Well, what news have we got for us today around the white world? I think we'll begin with a story from Britain. A terrified mother told today how she feared her jaw would be broken after a brown stranger repeatedly punched her in the face during an attack in her garden in front of her teenage son. Gemma Mansfield, white, told how she captured the horrific unprovoked assault on CCTV camera which she had installed after a spate of thefts from her home. Despite efforts by two other men to intervene, probably also non-white, she was punched three times in the face by a man who held her by the throat. The clip was posted by her mother's partner, Jimmy Wells from Leicester, who urged viewers to share and shame the woman-beating C-word, responsible. Well, the problem is, the person that did this, he's actually going to be proud of that, no doubt. He's never met the woman before in his life, and he just starts punching her in the face in front of this woman's terrified teenage son. The single mum of three has vowed to press charges against her attacker, who turned up at her home in Leicester with two friends demanding to see her. Now, what can we tell from this? Well, we can tell that they obviously knew who she was, even though she didn't know who they were. And she says that she's a single mum of three. So, possibly, just possibly, it could be one of her daughters has been dating or seeing this non-white and happened to run her mother down, and this attacker maybe decided to attack her. But it does seem strange that somebody would just turn up out of the blue, know the woman's name, and then start attacking her on the doorstep. The single mum of three said, "It was terrifying. As Gemma was being assessed in hospital for facial injuries and bruising, her grandmother, Moira Such, told of her terrifying ordeal and said she was absolutely fuming by it and shocked that police had taken so long to respond. Instead of coming around straight away, not till a couple of days later, the police did anything about it." And I dare say the only reason why the police are doing anything about it is because there is CCTV footage of it. Because they will only investigate nowadays if there is CCTV footage. Speaking exclusively to the Mail Online, Mrs. Such said it was an appalling attack on an innocent young mother in front of her children. The attacker repeatedly punched my granddaughter in the face at least five times, and when she was trying to back away, he grabbed her by the throat. It's lucky she didn't have a broken jaw. Well, I wonder what she did to deserve that. Perhaps she did something racist. I'm sure if she gets accused of racism that the guy that did this will be let off. And beating women up, I mean, that's perfectly acceptable to Muslims. That forms part of their religion. It is perfectly fine to beat women up, especially if they're non-Muslims, then they have no worth whatsoever. And this guy is clearly a Pakistani or a Bangladeshi. You can see that from his hairstyle and his look. Mrs. Such, 73, told how she was alerted in the early hours of Saturday by Gemma's oldest son, aged 13. She said he was hysterical and told me to get to the house quickly as his mum was being attacked. You imagine that, being 13 years old and you see your mum being punched in the face by a non-white on the doorstep of your home. he's going to be traumatized by that. Gemma doesn't know the attacker just by sight and name. He had turned up at her house about 7:15 a.m. on Saturday morning with two mates and started shouting. 7:15 a.m. Perhaps he had been up all night or something. I mean, this is obviously planned that he was going to do this. Her son looked out of the window and said, "Is your mum in? Get down the stairs." So he was out there calling for this woman. The mother, who had previously been partying at home with a few friends, but not the men who were in their 20s, who later confronted her, was then assaulted. Mrs. Mansfield has an 11-month-old son and a boy of 5 who suffers from autism, was later comforted by a grandmother. She raced to be with her from her home 2 miles away. Mrs. Such said, "I don't know whatever he went off for, but he's done it before. I think he knew one of the women my gran's daughter had been drinking with that night." So, possibly not a daughter, but one of the women that she was drinking with is obviously a bit of a mud shark. And she's obviously said something to this non-white that's got him to go round there and punch this woman. Continuing, "It was an appalling, vicious attack, and Gemma, who is a single mum and lives alone, had to stay with me the next night because she was too frightened to go home. Luckily, she had recently installed CCTV because she is alone at the house with the kids and has had stuff stolen from the garden, furniture and bikes. She called the police and gave them the footage, but they did nothing about it for a day, which I find absolutely shocking." Well, maybe this Mrs. Such needs to get with it and pay attention to what's going on, because the police are only solving 5% of all crimes nowadays. They've got no interest in even coming to your house if it's been burgled. They will only look at CCTV footage if you actually have the footage of what's actually going on. This is the only reason why the police came round for this case, is because there was CCTV footage that showed the perpetrator. Mrs. Mansfield's mother, Diane, who started a new living job today caring for a disabled person, is said to be horrified by the attack. Typical white woman here, obviously in her 70s, and is still working and caring for disabled people. Not something you would find Negroes doing, and unless they get a chance to rob the disabled person, I would suggest. Her grandmother added, "Her mum's busy with work, so I'm taking her to the local A&E to have her face x-rayed. She wants to press charges. He can't get away with this." Well, he's not going to get away with it because it's got mainstream coverage in the Daily Mail, so at least that's one good thing about it. The savage beating takes place in a garden filled with children's play equipment, including a plastic green spade and a slide. It makes you think, is nothing sacred anymore? I mean, you just don't do things like this in front of children. You certainly never used to do things like this in front of children. There was a respect for innocence. There was a respect for women more than anything else, and mothers, to just be punching this woman in the face in her own home. Mr. Wells posted the clip yesterday with the caption, "The girl in this video is my missus' daughter. Feel more than free to share, as people want to know what this little woman-beating sea is all about. Cheers." The clip shows the CCTV being played on a bigger screen with people gathered around to watch it. Someone watching the CCTV is heard saying "play" before the offender is then seen on screen grabbing Mrs. Mansfield by the throat and forcing her against a wall and against a chair. Still grabbing hold of her, he punches her twice in the head, knocking her back with considerable force. The people watching the CCTV react, gasping, with one of them saying, "Oh my effing bastard." The mother of 3 puts her hands up in a desperate attempt to shield herself from further strikes. 2 other males appear at separate points, making modest attempts to intervene. Obviously, they're quite happy for this to go on. As Miss Mansfield stands with her back against the wall, face down and hands up, the man steps closer to her and punches her twice more, again with considerable force. The people watching the CCTV react with further gasps, saying, "Oh my God." One of the males on screen makes another attempt to intervene before the man finally moves off. The camera then shifts from the CCTV on the screen to one of the women who has been watching. She remarks, "Dirty scumbags," before the video ends. Since being posted yesterday, the video has had nearly 1 million views already, with a strong reaction from social media. Mr. Wells was reluctant to comment further today, but added, "The more people that get to see what the scum did, the better. She's a young mother of three boys from Leicester, and the police are due here today." Well, hopefully people put two and two together and realise the colour of the person that's attacking her. That's the important thing about this, is that it's a non-white that's doing this. You wouldn't get a young white man turning up at a mother's house with two of their friends at 7:15 in the morning to go punching the young mother in the face. A spokesperson for Leicestershire Police said police were investigating and a 23-year-old man has been arrested. The spokesperson said police are investigating an assault reported to have happened yesterday morning in the New Parks area. A woman in her 30s was assaulted by a man outside an address at around 7 a.m. on Sunday 9th of September. The woman sustained bruising and swelling to her head. As part of ongoing inquiries, a 23-year-old Leicester man has been arrested on suspicion of assault and remains in police custody. Inquiries are ongoing into the incident, and officers are aware of CCTV footage captured of the assault being circulated on social media. Well, thankfully, they've actually got the guy that did this. Well, you may say that this isn't that violent, it's not a rape, it's not a murder, but it just shows that nothing is sacred anymore. Going around to a family home at 7:15 in the morning to punch a woman in the face that you have never met before. It's obviously some gossip that he's heard, something that was said, some words, possibly some hurt feelings, possibly this mother that was punched in the face, maybe she disapproved of the relationship that one of the young women that she'd had around her house the night before was having with this packy that went round there and punched her in the face. In fact, I bet that's actually what it boils down to. She said something racist. Well, let's move on to another story that I've got here. And this just proves something that we've been saying for a long time now. Adults posing as children to claim asylum in Britain are being exposed at the rate of 9 every week, according to official figures. Over the past 3 years, 3 out of 5 asylum seekers whose age was checked after they claimed to be under 18 were found to be adults. 3 out of 5. And yet we've still got calls to allow in refugee children from Calais and elsewhere. We've still got the Dubs Amendment, which says that Britain must allow entry to children in war zones anywhere. We must allow entry to them. And yet 3 out of 5 of them have turned out to be adults. You know, in Sweden, a dentist discovered that these refugees that were supposed to be children that were being handed to him to do dental work, he discovered that they were actually in their mid-20s and 30s. So he reported this and he was struck off. He was struck off for pointing out that they were only in the country dishonestly. How can the Swedes treat their own people like that? And you've got a crime that's taken place there. And he's drawn attention to the crime, but because it's perceived as racist, he's actually been struck off. He's having to raise money so that he can take the Swedish authorities to court over this. Well, back over here in Britain, the Home Office statistics revealed 2,336 cases where the claims to be a child were disputed and then checked. Of these, 1,403 turned out to be over 18. More than 7 out of 10 unaccompanied Vietnamese child asylum seekers whose ages were investigated, around 100 in all, were actually adults. A similar percentage of child claimants from Iran and Iraq whose cases were checked were also discovered to be adults. Concerns about exploitation of child migrant rules have been growing for the past 2 years, since the admission of applicants from Calais refugee camps who appeared to actually be older than children. Just about every one that we saw in the pictures looked as if they were over in their 20s. Child migrants who have been found after sneaking into Britain aboard trains, lorries or ships are treated differently from adults. Now, this is why they do it. They are taken into local council care and are then offered places in schools or with foster families, rather than being placed in holding camps until they can be checked out. They actually put them in care. They do everything that they actually do for white children. So when they're doing this for these refugee children, it means that's one less place for a white child that needs council care. If a refugee who claims to be under 18 does not have a birth certificate or other travel documents, as none of them do have, they all throw them away, a Home Office screening officer will decide whether or not they are a child based on their physical appearance and demeanour. And of course, the people that you've actually got that are involved in this are leftist progressives, and they will incline on the side of the refugee. Unless the person appears significantly over 18, they will be afforded the benefit of the doubt and treated as children. So this is why we've had people coming in here claiming to be children that look like they're 30, because even the official guidelines say that they're not to stop them unless they look significantly over 18. They will be afforded the benefit of the doubt and treated as children until they are age assessed by local council social workers. As if social workers are going to be on the side of the native British people. Again, another group that's just going to be on the side of these refugees. It says this is to avoid the risk of a child migrant accidentally being placed in adult accommodation or detention. So they see it as a greater risk to be putting these foreigners in adult accommodation. They think that's a worse risk than putting adult foreigners in with innocent families and innocent young children, white children, in schools. And of course, we've had over here in Britain and also over in Germany, these so-called children that have been placed in foster families have then gone on to try to set off suicide bombs or stabbed people in railway carriages. And we've had quite a few cases where they've terrorised the families that they've actually been placed with. But on some occasions, it meant adults were treated as children. Oh, just some. Only 3 out of 5. Potentially posing a risk to school pupils, foster families, or children in care. So why aren't they actually doing proper biological checks? Why aren't they saying, well, if you don't have any documents, you're not coming in. We're not even going to assess you because we can't assess you. You've got nothing there to prove who you are. You've got nothing there to prove that you're a child. Sorry, you're not coming in. We have to be looking out for the interests of our own people first, and our governments are not doing that. As if we couldn't see that. And surely it should be so clear to everyone in every white country that our governments do not have our best interests at heart. They are placing these invaders' interests above our own. Earlier this year, a report by the Chief Inspector of Borders and Immigration, David Bolt, said that Home Office staff did not feel confident about making initial age assessments of applicants posing as children, particularly judging whether the claimant was significantly over 18 and should be entered into the adult process. They received no training to help them make such judgments. Some local authorities were concerned that the Home Office applied its benefit of the doubt policy too readily. Basically, they just allowed in anyone that said that they were a child. That's what it looks like. Because if you've got 3 out of 5 actually turn out to be adults, and it's probably everyone that thought that they could get away with looking like a child has applied for it and been allowed in. Among those concerned was Conservative MP Tim Loughton, a member of the Commons Home Affairs Select Committee, who said, "This has been a problem for some time. We have been a soft touch in too many cases for asylum seekers who abuse our hospitality by elaborating their credentials. It is right we give a safe haven to those who are in danger, but too often we have been too trusting." None of them are in danger. None of them are in danger at all. All of them are actually in Europe by the time they get to Britain. And they're supposed to claim asylum in the first country they come to, which isn't at war. The first country they come to which isn't at war will be in Africa, or it will be in the Middle East. Not in Europe. They're not in any danger at all by the time they get to Britain. They should just be sent straight back either to Africa or to the Middle East. They should have a holding camp. Just like Australia has an island off the coast. Anyone tries to invade Australia, then they just put them on this island, in a camp on this island, until they eventually tell the Australian authorities who they really are, and then they're returned. And we should do the same. We should be hiring a bit of an island off Greece, or hiring an island off Turkey, and anyone that tries to break into Britain or anywhere in Europe should just be sent to this island. Fine, you're safe there. You say that you're coming from a war zone. Well, you're quite safe living on this island. We'll provide the basics for you. You can live in a tent. And when you decide that it's not so dangerous now in the country that you came from, then we'll send you back there. That's the way that they should be dealing with this. And they should be paying countries in Africa and the Middle East to take back the ones who claim that they've lost all their documents and don't know who they are. That would benefit the country that they were being sent to, because they would be given some money, and obviously it would benefit us. There are so many simple ways of dealing with this problem that the traitors in power just either refuse or pretend not to have ever thought of. Well, we've got some good news that we can finish with today. And this is good news from Germany. The Populist Alternative for Germany Party has become the most popular party in Eastern Germany, according to polls, as new data shows Germans becoming more critical of mass migration. A new poll conducted by polling firm Infratest DIMAP shows the anti-mass migration AfD passing Chancellor Angela Merkel's Christian Democratic Union, the CDU, for the first time in the party's history, scoring 27% compared to 23% for the CDU. Now, this is great news. Even if it is only just East Germany, that is still fantastic news that they're actually polling higher than the CDU. Maybe there is hope yet. Maybe the CDU will be kicked out at the next election. The results for the western half of the country highlight the continuing divide between the two halves, separated for decades during the Cold War, with the CDU still in first place, followed by the leftist Social Democrats, who are far less popular in the East. But you would think that the same crimes are happening in the West as they are happening in the East. I guess just the people in the East are a little bit more savvy as to who is responsible for these crimes. The polls come along with other data collected by Infratest DIMAP, which shows a whopping 83% of Germans across the country feel the government has done a poor job of deporting bogus asylum seekers, while 69% say the government has handled migrant crime and integration very poorly, Die Welt reports. Well, that's understating it. What the government have done is prevent the newspapers from reporting on it. Well, what they've done is lock people up for drawing attention to it. And they've said that these migrants aren't to be charged unless it's serious crimes. While mass migration has been a major issue since the height of the migrant crisis in 2015, the recent murder of Daniel Hillig, allegedly by two asylum seekers, and the subsequent protests in the East German city of Chemnitz have brought the issue back into the spotlight. Some, like Chancellor Merkel, have largely condemned the protests, which have seen thousands take to the streets, while others have expressed empathy or even sympathy with residents of the city. It's absolutely disgusting to see the way that Merkel has attacked these people that have been protesting about murder. And it's even more sick to see the Antifa that are attacking the protests and violently attacking people for saying that they condemn rape and murder. And it wasn't just this stabbing that went on in Chemnitz. There's all sorts of migrant crimes have been happening in Chemnitz. It's happening all over Germany. And as I pointed out at the time, there was more column space for the neo-Nazis at the rally than there was for the actual murder. The murder itself only merited two sentences, and all the rest of the article and this wasn't just in one article, this was in all of them, was attacking the people for speaking up against it, and speaking up about it, for protesting. The most notable politician to express sympathy for the Chemnitz protesters within has been Interior Minister Horst Seehofer, who you may remember from a while back, he put his foot down as far as border controls were concerned, and Angela Merkel had to give in. Well, Interior Minister Horst Seehofer, he said earlier this week, if I were not a minister, I would have taken to the streets as a citizen. Seehofer, who leads the CDU's sister party in Bavaria, the CSU, has been far more critical on migration issues than Chancellor Merkel, aligning himself with the pro-borders axis of the willing, alongside Austrian leader Sebastian Kurz and Italy's Matteo Salvini, who leads one half of the Mediterranean country's new populist coalition government. So things are looking up for the rest of Europe. Are they going to look up in Britain? Well, hopefully Tommy Robinson is going to join UKIP. I mean, you've got a lot of these alt-right figures now are supporting UKIP, a lot of the YouTubers, and they do have a large following. They do appeal to people. As we know, the Tommy Robinson movement, the Free Tommy movement, that did unite all the patriotic factions in Britain. If he becomes a part of UKIP, will that unite the patriotic factions in Britain behind UKIP? I mean, it's not out of the realms of possibility. I'd like to see that, because we don't have any other option. We don't have any racial nationalist parties in Britain. All we have is UKIP and For Britain. And it seems to make sense to me to concentrate our energies on one political party. And if Gerald Batten is going to accept Tommy Robinson, then that's probably going to be the party to support. I just hope they have an informal agreement with For Britain not to contest the same seats. What would really be preferable would be to have For Britain merge with UKIP. So you've got like an all-star UKIP with all the main counter-jihad people in the same party and the YouTubers there to help them with propaganda and rebranding the party as a free speech, anti-Islam, anti-immigration party. That would be good to see. We definitely need something to start happening in Britain, something politically. We've got this movement, but we need to have a political wing of it. And UKIP are just there for the taking. Anyway, that brings me to the end of today's podcast. I will be back tomorrow with Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson. Thank you very much for listening. God bless and hail victory.